at the beginning, the European Union wasn't an instrument of project. There's no doubt about that, and it still kind of behaves in that way. I wouldn't contest that point. I would agree with you that it's up to us to kind of change the direction and the nature of the conversation we're having about this. But do you think that dismantling the European Union would give us a better capacity to regulate dirty industries, climate issues and stuff like that? And as well as that, I'd like to ask... I wanted to ask only actually, what do you think the importance of languages is? Because in the United Kingdom, actually, a lot of people don't have a second language, a second European language. So when I do speak to European students, you speak Italian, French, Spanish as a minimum. They're like, well, you already speak Somalian English. I'm like, yeah. What do you think the European Union can do to facilitate the acquisition of languages for people like me who are now quite keen to pick up at least one or two languages to kind of improve the relationship between the UK and the continent?
Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Jamie. I'm a member of the Fabian Society and a Labour Party member. We're discussing changing attitudes for the public. My question is, what will be the main battleground in the run-up to the referendum on Britain's membership of the EU?
Very good. And Catherine behind.
Thank you. I'm Catherine Fuchs. One point that hasn't been made today that I think is true is even if we leave, we still have to comply with all the rules, I believe. And I think that's an important point to remember. And my other point that was Chris raised was about peace. I think I'd like to ask Jim, how would we maintain peace all this time if we didn't have the European Union? Finally, I was in Croesi Ceiniog Comprehensive School the other day in the Monmouth constituency, and a politics teacher is really worried that GCSE politics is going to be removed from the curriculum in Wales. And I think that's really serious because young people, I think it is one of the ways that young people can learn about Europe. So I wanted to know what you thought about that, whether it's just a rumour or whether it might be true. Thanks.
Very good. There was one other hand that went up behind Catherine, and I don't think you've spoken so much, so I'll take that as well.
Neil Evans from the Rhondda constituency. Just wondering if the panel think, have they had enough time to make an informed decision on this, considering that the Cameras has expedited the referendum to June 20th subject. Do we have enough time for an informed decision?
Thank you very much. I'll take those four questions. Who'd like to start? I'll start this way.
Yeah, I'm quite happy to start. And can I start in reverse order and take that last question, the issue of time? I think it's pretty clear that this election, this referendum, is going to be held on June the 23rd, and that certainly favours the people that will campaign for us to remain. There's not a great deal of time to get the message across, so it does favour. I'm not surprised that the present government has gone for it as soon as possible. There's an issue locally and the other issue in Scotland about the other elections that are taking place, and this issue of it's a little bit too much for people to take in, so why not have it in September, which I think would give a fairer balance for the Leave campaign. I think at the moment it's weighted in favour of the Stay In. They'd like to have this referendum next week. There's a fear that if something happens within the next few months, a worsening of the Syria crisis, some other political developments, who knows what could happen that could shift the uncertainty, which may help the Leave campaign.
Very good. Questions?
Well, I disagree with that completely. I think let's just get on with it, to be honest. Apart from anything else, the uncertainty is never good for business. And the longer we perpetuate this, the worse. But most people will end up making their decision some people have decided already how they're going to vote. Probably about 60% of people have decided one way or other how they're going to vote. Some people haven't decided whether they're going to vote, and then there's another chunk of people who will only make their mind up in the last week. Some people on their way to the polling station. Frankly, the longer you delay that, I don't think it makes a blind bit of difference whether it... and so, in which case, we might as well just get on with it. And I thought It's just about time Nicola Sturgeon just got on to arguing her case, and her case is that she's in favour of Scotland and the UK's remaining in the European Union, so she should just get on with arguing it, in my view. Faisal, you asked about the importance of language. I'm really struck by this. There was a very interesting moment. You might not remember, Edith Cresson was the French commissioner, and she got into trouble because she'd done some kind of deal with her dentist. I can't remember what it was. And they'd done a report on her, and the French president, the French president of the commission, Delors, said that she, not French, you know what I mean, anyway, Delors, he said in French that the report had declared that she was blanchie, which could either mean cleared or whitewashed. Now, the British press decided that this was a whitewash, and that was the translation, but what he meant was quite clearly that she had been cleared. So sometimes language is really important, and I find it embarrassing that we always bang on about how migrants to this country have got to learn our language and live by our rules, and then you go to Torremolinos and you find every single British person wanting to eat fish and chips and drink British beer and not enculturate themselves in Spain or learn the language at all, and just shout louder in English, speaking it badly, as if somehow or other that is speaking foreign. This thing about whether the EU is understandable, I'd defy most British people to explain the British political system, let alone the EU. I mean, the fact that we have elected hereditary peers in Britain, we bang on about democracy as well. We have, an appointed house of more than 800 people. We tell other countries that they shouldn't have be theocracies, and we've got bishops of the Church of England in the House of Lords by right. You know, I mean, we are fundamentally effortless British superiority is a strange and bizarre part of the way we do our business. The main battleground, Jamie, you asked about, in the end it will be an emotional decision. I don't there'll be lots of facts and figures thrown at people and all the rest of it, but in the end it'll be an emotional decision, and I think we will feel that if we're outside the European Union, we will be diminished in our international standing, and we'll be in danger of being marginalised economically and politically, and that's why we won't vote to leave. And Catherine, you asked about if we leave. Well, that will be the big part of what determines that emotional feeling will be if we leave. Nobody knows what that will look like. Will it look like the Norwegian version, where basically they have all the rules faxed to them and they pay more than we do per head? I don't think most people will go for that. We're not a Switzerland, are we? We don't pretend to be independent in terms of in terms of NATO and things like that. So I think it's that sense of we have no idea. It will be like walking out into the dark on a very cold and wintry night, and that's a bit like the end of the meeting. And we'll probably better stay in. I mean, not in the meeting, obviously. Well, you can if you want. Obviously, right?
Thank you very much, Jenny.
Turning to whether we've got enough time, I think it depends. I don't know. I just want to hear the date and get on with the campaign, really. That's all my opinion is on it. The sooner it is, the more I think the OUT campaign is associated with UKIP, which is very toxic for the OUT campaign and potentially beneficial for us, really. Well, for us that want to stay in. But it's not enough time to have a proper debate, which is what I think the country needs. It needs a proper debate and sort of reconciliation with what Europe means for us. And the sooner it is, it doesn't give enough time for that. Whether we'd be better regulating business by dismantling the EU, I don't think so, because we haven't got the power of 27 other nations if we do dismantle the EU. So I think membership is crucial for that. And how to facilitate language learning. I find it really embarrassing myself. I speak some Spanish, and that's about it. It's embarrassing for me, and I don't know how to phrase this, but I think it's terrible for the country that we don't have it. And I think that in itself is crucial as to why the British public don't feel as European as maybe other EU member states. I think the Erasmus programme has done a fantastic job of encouraging language learning, and I think there's the new Erasmus Plus thing that's just being developed now, and with, as that's more developed, I think that should hopefully facilitate more language learning for people who aren't at university. Unfortunately, I think one of the main battlegrounds for the European Union referendum will be on immigration, and it's up to the left to be quite grown up about this actually and talk about it in a constructive manner. If somebody has concerns about it at the doorstep, it's not a case of saying you're racist and slamming the door in the face in their face. It's about engaging with them what their problems might be and talking about immigration to them in a very localized manner. You know, the businesses down the road might not exist if it wasn't for EU migrants coming here and starting up businesses. I don't know whether, turning to you, Kath, I don't know whether GCSE politics is off the table in Wales. If it is, then that's a massive shame. I didn't have the opportunity to study politics, but I completely blame my political views on my mum and my enthusiasm. And that's the privilege that I had, parents at home who are actively reading newspapers and discussing this, and not every household has that. So even if politics GCSE isn't there, then I think schools still have the responsibility to discuss this in other lessons.
I think we can all agree on that. Yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
No, that's
fine. Very good. Is there anybody who hasn't spoken who feels they want to put a point that hasn't already been put? Because if
very briefly,
yeah.
Jenny's mum. this talk about democracy and very briefly, I want to say that actually living in a country, living under a government which is voted for by 30% of the population. I've been more grateful for institutions I feel quite dubious about, like the House of Lords and the EEC, so long may they remain. Jim, you talked about some disappointment about Cameron promised us a fundamental reform and he doesn't seem to have delivered that. So very briefly, I'll just ask you how long you think it would take to fundamentally reform the European Union? Because I think a couple of months would probably...
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed for that question, because I think it brings us back to rounding off this session, which is, will EU reform change public attitudes to the EU? And I think if you can make your final remarks around that, but addressing the issue of has fundamental reform happened or how long will it take?
Okay, there were a few points that I would have liked to have touched back on, but I guess
I think we haven't got time.
Okay. One that I really feel I have to make, the question was about maintaining peace in the EU. NATO maintained peace in the EU, not the EU per se. How long to reform? How long is a piece of string? How much reform do you want? What we've seen is a back of a fag packet agreement, all done behind closed doors. Then we've seen the television cameras everywhere, and David Cameron scuttling around Europe and hailing these reforms as, it reminds me of another sort of piece in our time, piece of paper being waved around. So your question is, how long is it going to take? David Cameron's had a long time to put these reforms together. But it's strange we didn't hear exactly what these reforms were going to be until very recently. And they're a great disappointment. I mean, his own party is saying things. There's widespread disappointment in the deal.
So how long would fundamental reform take?
How long? As I'm for leaving, then you're asking me to say, well, actually, if we want to stay in, how long? I'm for leaving. And let the EU reform in whatever shape it wants to reform. And how that affects the citizens of the EU is up to them. I want to vote to leave, so I'm sorry to say how long does it take to reform. There was another point that I wanted to touch back on there, but the way that there isn't
Thank you
time.
Very much. Okay, Jenny, how long would it take? And how will the reform change public attitude?
How long will it take to reform? Who knows? I mean, it depends what the outcomes are. And I don't know. That's my honest answer. I don't know, and I don't think the public knows. I don't think David Cameron knows. And that's why I think it's actually what Chris said, important to have the referendum as soon as possible because of all this uncertainty. Will these reforms change public opinion? I'm not convinced. I don't think he's done much to... he's looking at both ends of the spectrum. He's not done much to appease the very right wing of his party or those who are massively concerned about immigration. And I'm glad that he hasn't appeased that aspect of Euroscepticism. But then you've got the Eurocritical, Eurosceptic left who want to leave because they view the EU as being too neoliberal and undermining workers' rights. And gratefully, and I'm very grateful that he hasn't, not grateful, he shouldn't, but touch a lot of regulation about workers' rights and things. And so I think the left should be reassured and vote to stay in the EU. That's
my okay, thank you, Jenny. Chris.
How long would it take to fundamentally reform? Well, in a sense, I used to be a vicar in the Church of England. And so if you don't mind, I'm going to use a theological comparison, which is that the church, it was said in Latin of the church that it was always semper reformanda, it always had to be constantly reformed. And I think that's true of all our political institutions. The tendency of conservatives is to try to keep them protected in aspic, and that's why I'm not a conservative, because I think every element of our institution needs to be subject to change as you know, society changes, as attitudes change, as technology changes indeed and makes new forms of democracy or democratic expression possible, I think we have to change, and we shouldn't be frightened of changing those institutions. And that's why I mentioned House of Lords, because I think there's a lot that we could do. Much of our salvation is in our own hands. We often say that Europe gives us all these terrible rules. Well, actually, often it's the way we've implemented them in the UK. And the lack of scrutiny that we give to European legislation in Parliament is quite shocking. So I think often that's in our own hands. And I would say that I always want to reform. I mean, there are things that I feel I care about, like, you know, I think there are far too many commissioners. I understand there's one for every country, but frankly, one day we're going to have to leave. We're going to have to lose that. It's bonkers that it goes to Brussels and to Strasbourg. There should be just one place where it's based. It's a ludicrous waste of money and all the rest of it. That's not what I'm going to fight to change, though, because I've got to get to persuade the French to vote, because they've got it would be a treaty change. They'd have a right to a veto. And I'm not going to fight for that. I'm going to fight for really important reforms in the European Union. I don't think David Cameron has, but in the end, if you want to reform it, that means that you want to stay in. You can't be not a member of the club and insist on changes to the club rules. Yeah. That's why I want to stay in and to change. And just one thing about peace, you know. Yeah, it's absolutely right. NATO has played a very important role. But if you look to the Balkans, without the European Union's drag factor of so many countries, Croatia isn't already in the European Union, but other countries like Bosnia and Macedonia wanting to join the European Union, there will be no pressure towards ending corruption, ending the people trafficking through the Balkans, ending the long-term conflict between the ethnic and religious groupings down there. So I say still that the European Union plays a vital role in ensuring peace on our doorsteps, if not necessarily within our own homes.
Thank you very much indeed. I'd just like to draw this to a close by saying thank you, all of you, for participating and being engaged in the debate, which I think everybody in this room realises is a really important debate. But it's been acknowledged that the vast majority of the people don't spend a lot of time thinking about politics, and this is therefore all our jobs to ensure that people are engaged in this vitally important debate and are fully understanding what it is we're going to be asked to vote on. I would just like to finally say that July the 1st is the centenary of the Battle of the Somme, where 1 million people died as a result of a conflagration in Europe that nobody can any longer remember what it was about, or indeed what it achieved. So that, to me, is one of the most important reasons why we need to be part of the European Union. Thank you very much for coming.
Right. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
Go out into the rain, the cold.
I study in Manchester.
Oh, I had an undergraduate actually this morning because everybody was in.
Yeah, but you live here?
I live in Monmouth now.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Yeah. Oh, right. Thank you very much indeed.
Not at all, it was easier than I expected.
Yeah. No, I think you're never going to get. So, yes, the Fabian Society is very respectful.
Oh, absolutely right. And that's why I was happy to come along. Yeah. Sort of not particularly
no,
well
no, prepared. I think we're very grateful that you came along because if we,
I think
you're providing a different perspective. Kelvin Hopkins has a particular view, which I think is a little bit idealistic. UKIP has a different perspective, and I think it's very useful to have somebody else, you're coming at it more from a progressive perspective.
Yeah, this chap is not quite criticism of it, saying that all of it was coming from the dissident, extreme right-wing Tory.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have got involved in that, but I chose not to because I was going to.
I don't think many people here believe that.
No.
In fact, if you go out on the doorstep.
Oh, is that right?
Probably. Yeah. Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah.
And you. And they run into you again. So you said you live 2 miles away. Where do you live?
I live in Bali.
Oh, very good.
So it's been a terrible journey for me to get here. It took all of 10 minutes.
So you're going to vote for Julie?
I've met Julie. I've met her. I find it difficult, you see, to vote Labour. And I appreciate time, spending time towards the end. But of course, this point about let's get on with it. Well, Ed Miliband clearly said no referendum. So how could you have got on with it? I did want to raise that, but
okay.
But anyway, but so I find it difficult to vote for Labour because of that issue, and of course because of the Tony Blair years. I was a huge fan of Tony Blair. Cool Britannia. Well, I can remember celebrating on that day in 1997. Labour Party actually celebrated it in a conservative association.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was us in there.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. So when they all, you know, it was great. We left a fighter, but with what happened in Iraq and then subsequently, I just find it impossible to until there's radical reform there. I like Chris, I think he's done a lot of work for me.
Yeah.
But I did have to smile when he said, let's get on with it. I didn't want one at all, now you want to get on with it.
Very good. All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Very nice to meet you. Hi, I'm not on the
Yeah.
tell you your name, but that was that.
Thank you.
But I think if he's actually across those, really not my way.